Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezvik here with you. We say hello to our pal Jim Wyatt, TennesseeTitans.com, joins us now. Jimmy, what's up? How are you?
I'm wondering about what my walk-up music is here.
It sounds like Coal Miner's Daughter.
Opera Land back in the day. Okay. That would fit. They were playing that Opera Land back in the day. You guys are too young to remember Opera Land.
Oh, I remember Opera Land.
Yeah.
I had some great times at Opera Land. I would go in the summer, probably, like, we had the season pass. My grandmother would take me every week. It was fantastic.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. So you've
Screaming
been
Delta Demon.
Yeah.
The Hangman.
Yeah, Wabash Cannonball, the Flume Zoom,
yep.
Ten Lizzies. Yep. Michelle doesn't know what the heck we're talking
no.
about now.
Can't say I was a Nashvilleian then.
There's a mall there now.
That's where Opry Mills sits right now.
Okay.
Yeah, they closed it in 97 and broke all of our hearts because they closed the theme park and then they built a mall. So, but anyway, that's not why we had you on to talk, but a nice little trip down memory lane, Jim. So you were at rookie camp, and it was our first glimpse. Obviously, everybody's going to gravitate towards the quarterback. And I got to tell you, Jim, I was impressed with Will Levis and how he handled, you know, the questions that you expected him to get. And the one that really stood out to me was when he was asked about, you know, there's a lot of noise and there's a lot of, you know, people that maybe don't think that you're going to be cut out to do this. And he said, well, of course I hear it, but, you know, it's what I do with it. And he just kind of takes it, or according to him, he takes it in one ear and it goes out the other, and then he goes to work and he's trying to prove himself to Mike Vrabel and to his teammates. But I was impressed by that because it felt very real.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the people that pretend that they don't hear it, you know, the ones that probably it bothers the most. And I think him admitting that, yeah, he knows it's out there, and that's something he's going to have to work through. I mean, I'll say I think the majority of the fan base, you know, as you guys know, we're not jumping up and down when he was picked, and part of it's because of where he went to school and because what, you know, Vol fans saw when they played against Kentucky, which I think is unfair, and because I think, you know, they wanted to compare him to Hendon Hooker, and since he's not Hendon Hooker and he was the pick, there was a lot of people, there were a lot of people that didn't agree with that, but I think when you looked at what Hendon Hooker was working around compared to what Will Levis was working around last year, I think that maybe explains some of it. The reality is he's just going to have to – everything that happened in the past is now behind him. I think he knows he's got to put that behind him. He's going to have to prove himself to this team. He's going to have to prove himself to this coaching staff. He's going to have to prove himself to this fan base when he gets a chance to play. And any interaction I've had with him since, you know, this draft process, I think it's been good. I thought he did a good job Saturday. I spent some time with him in Kansas City. I was impressed by how he handled himself there the day before the draft. And we'll see what happens from here. But I thought he handled that part well. And I'll say this, seeing him up close and seeing that flick of the wrist and seeing how well he delivered the ball and put it in tight spaces and was accurate – I was impressed. Now, it's going to be different with the vets out there. The vets took the field yesterday with him. We'll get to see it in OTAs next week. But every part of this is going to be a hurdle he's going to have to clear. But I thought he certainly did it, you know, did it well on, you know, on his, in his debut.
Jim Wyatt is with us. Now, I think that, you know, being around Floyd Reese for as long as I was, a little bit of the old school way of thinking rubbed off on me. But I remember him telling the story of when they drafted Steve McNair, it was made very clear from the beginning he was going to sit for 2 years and was not – I think he played four games in his first 2 years. Now, granted, McNair was coming out of Alcorn State. He was very raw. He wasn't ready. He needed development. Will Levis could be further along. But I still buy into the fact that a guy should sit. We obviously have the recent example of Patrick Mahomes. To me, Levis is in a really, really good spot because he can sit behind Tannehill for at least a year, and then the organization can evaluate where they're at that position at the end of this season. But do you agree with that, that really needs to – and I think Vrabel is going that route right now, but that really needs to be the plan to just let him sit and learn?
Yeah, I mean, that's what's in the best interest of Will Levis for sure, and I think it's what's in the best interest of this team. Now, we all know sometimes that timetable gets sped up for one reason or another, whether it's because the starter got hurt or whether it's because, you know, the rookie is performing a little bit better than expectations and you want to see what you've got. So I know those factors come to play. Things are different now. I mean, you mentioned McNair. I mean, he turned out to be a great quarterback for this franchise, but it took him a long time before he was good. And I mean, he was drafted in 95, and I still remember in the season opener in 99, him getting booed when he went yep. back in the game. You remember that, Chase, against the Bengals? Yep. And people throughout that 99 season were campaigning for Neil O'Donnell to be the starting quarterback, you know, when McNair was coming back from back surgery. So, I mean, and you're talking, you know, that was 5 years into his NFL career. So now here we are talking about Will Levis potentially playing as a rookie or can he play next year? And the same thing applies to Malik Willis. I don't know how much more time Malik has, but, you know, people that grew frustrated with him last year, you know, don't remember the McNair timetable. But I think it's best. That's a long way of answering. Yes, I do think it's best if he can sit back and learn from Tannehill and not have that pressure on him this year, but I know it doesn't always work out that way either.
Jim Wyatt on with us from TennesseeTitans.com. Well, Jim, you just kind of mentioned it there for a second. What do you think Malik Willis's future looks like with the Tennessee Titans after drafting Will Levis this year?
Well, everything I've heard about Malik this offseason has been positive, from his work ethic to, and I've seen him in person. He looks better, like he's put in the work. Mm-hmm. I think he spent some time around people away from here, in addition to people here at the facility that have kind of helped him in his development. So he's doing all the right things. You know, with that said, I mean, if Ryan Tannehill's the starting quarterback on this team in 2023, and we know Will Levis is going to be here, then, you know, just me following the league and knowing how tough it is to keep three quarterbacks, I think it's going to be tough for Malik Willis to make this team. And so then the question becomes, you know, if you see enough progress from him in May and throughout the rest of this month and then June and July and then in preseason, and he has shown some of that in preseason games, then you maybe get nervous about trying to release him and get him back on the practice squad because somebody might claim him. It's hard to keep three quarterbacks again. So, I mean, I think he's got an uphill battle to make the 53. That doesn't mean they're going to give up on him, but, you know, just do the math and know that if Tannehill and Levis are on this team, you don't see teams keep three quarterbacks very often.
Well, we'll move off the quarterback conversation. Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com, even though, you know, I love talking about the University of Kentucky and quarterbacks that come out of there, Jim, you know me. But after...
Hey, Jimmy, go Doors.
They did beat us in basketball and football this year, and probably baseball. When you look at just some of the rookies that you saw take the field in rookie mini camp yesterday, you mentioned now the veterans are coming in and they will look different with the addition of them. But other than Will Levis, was there a rookie that stood out to you that maybe you weren't focused on heading into rookie mini camp?
Well, I think, and I was focused on him, but I will mm-hmm. say of all six of the draft picks, I think Tajay Spears is the one who I think, you know, impressed the most, which mm-hmm. it maybe shouldn't be a huge surprise because, you know, his whole deal and his whole game is making plays in space and his being able to have, you know, get away from defenders and just, you call it a, you know, his jump cut or just his ability to free up extra space. I mean, 7-on-7 drills without pads on or provide a perfect opportunity to do that. And he's got some juice. I mean, he's got a bounce in the step. I thought he caught the ball well. He's fast. So he wasn't perfect. You know, he had dropped a ball right in his hands one time. I think on the first pitch to him, it was kind of a little bobble, but you can see the athleticism and the speed and the qualities that led him to being picked by this team third overall. So he'd be number one. Skoronski, it's hard to tell with O-line without pads on. Again, Levis, I was impressed by the flick of the wrist and his quick delivery. Wiley, he sure looks the part, but even Mike Vrabel said himself when he went up and caught one of those balls, it's going to be different with defenders around him. Mm-hmm. Colton Dowell, I'm going through all of them now, but Colton Dowell at the end, you know, it's funny. He had the moment where he tripped over the ladder, but he laughed it off. And then Jalen Duncan, I'll say this, he looks the part. I mean, he's 6'6", 306, bounces around out there on his toes like Brad Hopkins did back in the late 90s, early 2000s. But he's got to prove it when the pads come on too. I watched all six draft picks very closely, but if I had to pick one, I'd say Spears.
And then just kind of quickly, Jim, before we let you go, a guy who was a rookie last year, Treylon Burks, heading into his sophomore season. What do you think he needs to do in his second season for the Tennessee Titans in that wide receiver room?
Well, I just think he needs to settle down. And, I mean, the important thing for him is just to stay healthy. And he had to deal with a couple of different things last year, from the toe to the asthma early to some other things that slowed him down. He just needs to be able to stay on the field and play and get more comfortable. I think, you know, last year, if I'm not mistaken, he made probably 12, 13 visits before the draft. And because of that, he wasn't able to stay in great shape. And then when the offseason program started, we all know what happened. So I've watched him this offseason. He's looked good. He's been out there every day. It looks like he's in really good shape. Mm-hmm. You know, we're supposed to talk to four guys today during the availability. I think he's going to be one of them. And I'll be curious just to see how he thinks things feel for him a year later. But, he's got a lot on him because we all know what the state of that room looks like now. It's a young group, and a lot is going to be counted on him to kind of lead the way.
Hey, Jim, real quick, when we were talking quarterbacks earlier, am I right in saying that they did look at maybe bringing the third quarterback rule back like they had in the 90s and in the early 2000s or something similar? But I know they tabled it in Phoenix, and we're going to revisit potentially this month. Is that still possible?
Yeah, and I have heard that as well, Chase, and that would change things there. I hope that happens because I think it gives teams more of an opportunity to be patient with guys instead of feel like they've got to discard them. So I have heard, I always have that in the back of my mind as a possibility, and if that is the case, then that does give them some more time. And I hope Malik Willis gets more time. He's a great kid, works hard. He's just not ready. I mean, when he was picked, everything I heard was he wasn't supposed to play until 2024. And of course, we all know what happened. He had to play a lot sooner. So if that passes and that becomes the scenario the Titans are working with, then I think that's great for everybody.
Yeah, and I'll tell you another thing real quick. Watching, and I feel like we're going to see this, but if the XFL or the USFL could become like an NFL Europe at some point, and let's say the Titans could hold onto his rights but loan him out to an XFL team, I think guys like Malik Willis would benefit from that greatly.
Yeah, he just needs to play and needs to get the feel for the speed of the game and doing things completely different than what he was doing in college. And you can't get that. And it's going to be hard for him to get reps in training camp because obviously the starter gets them, and then you're trying to get Levis up to speed. So he's going to be behind the eight ball and trying to make this team and trying to show how much progress he's made.
Well, Jim, we appreciate the walk down memory lane with Opryland and the football talk as well. Look, I know you're not a Broadway legend like Rick Merritt, but you're a Nashville legend.
I appreciate that. It's tough to keep. I was out with Ricky one night.
I know.
So I know it's tough to keep up with him. So, but yeah, I can still get around every once in a while. I appreciate it.
I know you can. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim.
I'll see you. Okay.
Jim Wyatt covers the Titans for TennesseeTitans.com. He is the best. There is no doubt. A true Nashville legend. We'll react to some of those things. And also, I'll tell you about a really cool charitable thing that the Predators have going on. We'll do that coming up here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.